Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Where the two guys are headbutting each other and spitting in each other's mouth. Lattimore is a legend.
You're right. I'm looking at it right now, and this is the Robbie Ray one as he's nibbling and like pulling on it.
And Robbie Ray's just like, okay, this is happening.
And then everyone, it's just almost like it's a golden retriever there. It's just like, oh, that's just what he does. No one even looking at like the absurdity of it. Logan Webb clapping in the background.
I mean, Joe.
It's just like, what?
You could make an argument. Draymond Green at times does things where like, normal fan bases would be like, what is that guy doing? Like, when he got kicked out of the Memphis playoff game and then did, like, the Hulkamania and Macho Man, like, cupping his ears to the crowd and, like, firing him up. I mean, he just did a podcast where he explained that he had to stomp on Sabonis because, you know, he had to get him back or whatever. Like, it just...
Well, that's...
I mean, Draymond is, like, on a whole nother level. So, are we surprised that a guy like Drew Gilbert is going to be a little edgy?
Well, I wonder if Dave Fleming is surprised.
Draymond Greenlaw.
Who's our Giants... our Giants insider and Giants broadcaster joining us on the River Islands guest line.
Instead of Drew Gilbert, it's Drewmon Greenlaw.
Drewmon Greenlaw. That's, I mean, not that's bad. Pretty,
we got to like combine all three of them.
I don't hate that.
Those other two guys are great players. Drew Gilbert is still trying to establish
but
himself.
But you know what? It works.
Yeah.
The vibes of Drew Gilbert, I will take that 7 days out of the week, twice on Sunday, and I'm sure Dave Fleming will as well. Join us now on the River Islands guest slide. Dave, let's just bring you right into it. Have you ever seen a player do what Drew Gilbert's been doing in the dugout and the effect it's clearly having on the players? Good morning.
So, good morning. So the question is, have I ever seen a player eat his teammate's jersey during the game?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The answer is no. I've never seen that. I never have.
But Dave, I mean, we can admit Giants kind of needed some of this energy, right? Like, I don't know if he's even going to be good. Like, we'll see. He's very young. He's 24. And you know this. Your son played youth baseball forever. And so, like, the culture of youth baseball is totally different than the culture of the pros right now. But you could see these young guys that came up in that era, you know, bow and arrowing a walk and bat flipping, getting hit by a pitch. Like, Drew kind of represents the modern game for a lot of the youth players right now. I'm kind of here for it.
He does. I mean, it was interesting to read that Andy Baggerly thing about him, because he talked to all his Tennessee folks, and that assistant coach with Tennessee said Drew Gilbert's the guy who changed the whole deal here. Like, he gave Drew credit for vaulting Tennessee's now the baseball powerhouse in the country. They were not. I mean, even 10 years ago, they were not. And now they're just pumping out big leaguers, and he gave Drew more credit than anybody. He said he's the guy who came in here and changed everything for us. So, look, is it still to be determined about what level of big league player this guy can be? Yes. Will that determine a lot of how much value he can provide the Giants? Yes. You can't be a cheerleader and take up a 26-man spot for your whole career. That's not possible. But he does have real talent. He's an excellent defensive outfielder. He's a good base runner. He puts the bat on the ball, doesn't strike out a ton. There are a lot of things to like about his baseball game. And I do believe that this Giants team has really benefited from, A, not having to lean on one or two guys for energy and enthusiasm every day. It's a lot to ask of Willy Adames to be that guy every single day. Like, it's nice to spread that responsibility around. B, like, edginess is not a bad thing. Like, I don't think it's a bad thing if the other team doesn't love you. You know, in sports, that's maybe a little rarer than it used to be in high-level professional sports. I don't think other teams really like Drew Gilbert and the whole act and skit and whatnot. And that, to me, is good. The other team's not supposed to like you. And so I think that's a good dynamic, too.
Are you shocked, though, that Pat McAfee, of all people, is talking about him? Like, that is surprising. Like, the Giants have probably never been mentioned on the Pat McAfee show. And the fact that it has kind of swept the nation on the internet, the Drew Gilbert phenomenon, like, that has to be surprising. And it also has to be awesome for the Giants marketing team.
Kind of to your point about he sort of represents a new generation of baseball and athlete. Like, maybe part of this is the Giants haven't had a lot of really young players over the last few years. So this transition of, that all the stuff that you're talking about, maybe he's the first one for the Giants who's made it here to this level who has been kind of a part of that. But, yeah, you don't think probably Rafi Devers' trade was talked about on the Pat McAfee show, probably. But I don't think there's been a lot of breakdown of, like, the Giants' third starter on that show. And that is a good thing. Like, that also is a positive. Like, and if fans around the Bay Area start to talk about this team in a different way, or young kids start to watch because they want to see his reactions, how is that a bad thing? By the way, I think what needs to be said about all this is not an act for this guy. Like, this is who he is. And he did not come here and just invent this stuff. Like, this has always been the way he is. And it's sort of like I think in the draft and maybe even in the minor leagues, other teams scouting, pro scouting of other organizations, I think it was a negative for some teams. And it wasn't for the Giants, but this has always been a part of the package with him. This is who he is.
Talking with Dave Fleming here on the Morning Roast, our Giants insider and Giants broadcaster for NBC Sports Bay Area. Dave, are you believing this team? Like, is Dave Fleming finally coming around as the free fall is happening in Queens, New York? That team is always seemingly losing whenever I look up on my little ESPN app. And the Giants are always somehow finding a way to win. Now, we got a massive games and series coming up against the Dodgers. We'll get to that at some point in this interview. But are you starting to believe, Dave, in this Giants team?
Yeah, the door's been open for them for sure. And part of that is the Mets have struggled. So two things have happened. The Giants have just totally transformed. They're playing the best they've played all year. And the Mets have given him an opportunity. Still the math is not in the Giants' favor. It's still long odds. I know that sounds strange because they're only two games out and essentially only three games out. But when you only have 18 to go, a lot has to still go right for you. You don't have much margin for error. But the Mets' schedule, man, I don't know if you've looked at the Mets' schedule, but it doesn't get it. They play today against Christopher Sanchez. They play tomorrow while the Giants are off against Jesus Luzardo and the Phillies. They get the Padres. They get the Rangers. And then after, then all of a sudden they load up with teams you expect them to roll over. The Mets have a really hard schedule. So they are going through it right now, and I'm sure they're feeling pressure.
What's been the biggest change? Like, what? I feel like I swore this team off seven different ways, and I look at, like, I'm going to pick one guy for me. Jung-Hoo Lee has been a revelation since the All-Star break, and I feel like he's going the other way, and he's doing a lot of different things. For me, he's one of the big changes. For you, what is so different, and why are they winning now?
I think Devers has been the difference maker for me. Devers is a different kind of presence than they've had, and I think it's impacted everybody else positively. I think everybody is fed off Devers doing damage and getting hot, and it's not a total coincidence that his hot streak has led to the Giants' hot streak. Adames has been great, and that was happening before. Adames had a great month of July, even as the Giants really struggled in a lot of that month. Adames was playing really well, so it's hard to say that's a difference, but I think, they got two thumpers in the middle. Matt Chapman getting healthy, taking that little time off. Matt obviously was compromised before. That hand thing was, he just wasn't himself. Now that he's himself, it's another guy in the middle of it. Just if you want a big picture something, like not a because you could go down the line. Almost everybody's playing well. Giants were hitting the fastball. Giants were like 30th in baseball in OPS against four-seam fastballs. They're up to somewhere, we'd have to look it up this morning, but they're almost in the middle, which in the course of like 3 weeks, that's almost impossible as a team to climb that much this late in a season. And it tells you, and I don't know why that's happened. I don't know what, I'm down there every day. I'm watching them. They're mostly doing the same work. It's not like they've totally changed their routine or game planning or anything like that. But they are now hitting the fastball. They just weren't doing that before. They're doing it now. To me, that's been a big difference.
More impressive for you, Dave, has it been this offensive kind of explosion here a little bit of late? Or has it been the bullpen's ability to really, after getting rid of everyone and the only guys that you've had since the start of the season now is Ryan Walker and Spencer Bivens, like, has that been more impressive to you? Which one?
Well, the offense has been more impressive to me, but I think the Giants get a lot of credit for finding a way to figure this out. Like, this has been on the fly, figure it out, and they've done a great job. Like, I would say one theme of this season has been, the Devers trade is kind of in a different category, but it's still the Giants remaking their team in the middle of the season, not the off season, not winter meetings, like in the middle of the year. Devers trade, that just almost never happens. But then go down the line and think about, what you're talking about. So no Rodgers, no Doval, no Randy Rodriguez. So you find Joey Lucchese, he's been great. You find Matt Gage, he's been more than solid. You call up Yoel Piguero, who all of a sudden looks like he can be a part of your future from the minor leagues. He's been good. You find Dom Smith, who's playing corner outfield in the minor leagues for the Yankees in Pennsylvania. And you pick Dom Smith up, and he becomes a bat off the bench, and now a guy who's playing almost every night and hitting 290 and getting big hits and picking it over at first. That's a lot of big league talent that they have found during the season, really hard to do. And whoever gets credit for that, I mean, Zach was the pro scouting director before. So that's kind of Zach's former job, is scout the talent on other pro teams. There's two different, there's amateur scouting where you're scouting college and high school. And then there's pro scouting where you're taking inventory of all the players in pro ball. Who do we like? Who could be available? How do we rank these guys? That group for the Giants has done an amazing job this year.
Well, and what does it say, Dave, as we're talking to Dave Fleming, Giants broadcaster, 95.7 The Game insider, what does it say about the job that Bob Melvin's done with them? I mean, this is a guy that was much maligned all season for his inability to have a pulse, at least from the fans' perspective, on the bullpen. And they've been kind of balling out this last month with the makeshift bullpen.
Yeah, it's probably the number one job of any baseball manager is manage the bullpen. That's probably the hardest job, part of the job. And it's probably the part of the job where you have the most actual impact. It's not like, football, basketball, where you're scheming up X's and O's and let's diagnose and diagram a play to get us a win here. Like baseball, it just doesn't work that way. So where can you make your impact? You can make your impact in managing a bullpen. That's Bochy did it brilliantly for all those years. And Bob should get a lot of credit for, finding a way to make those guys comfortable right away. And it's not just Bob, it's JP, it's Garvin Alston, the bullpen coach. Imagine his job this year. Imagine Garvin down there watching Tyler Rogers, Camilo Doval, and Randy Rodriguez walk out the bullpen door and never come back. And, you're introducing yourself to guys you've never met before. So he's done a good job with the psychology of that group, with Ryan Walker's ups and downs, keeping him to where he's been a big contributor lately. All those guys get some credit for that, because that is not easy to do. You look around baseball and you look at the bullpens that start to crumble and fall apart and games are being blown, and that definitely could have happened to this Giants team, and it hasn't happened.
What about Logan Webb? I mean, this guy, top three in most innings pitched. Strikeouts, quality starts. You look at his strikeout to walk ratio, it's top 10. I mean, he's been spectacular, and yet somehow I feel like he's still underrated. How good has Logan Webb been this year?
Yeah, I think he is still underrated. I would say he's the most underappreciated true star in the game today. If you ask other fan bases around baseball, nobody brings up Logan Webb. And he is a top five pitcher in the game and has been for several years now. Think about that. Top five pitcher in the game. And I'm you know, you can put Skeens, great, put him in there. Scooble, great, put him in there. Crochet, I'd probably put him in there now. I think that, 2 years of track record, probably true. And Christopher Sanchez has been awesome, like other guys, but just consistent excellence. Logan Webb's in that group. And I love the fact that he set a goal this year. I want to strike a few more people out. I don't want to leave it up to the vagaries of a ground ball so often. I want to be able to – and now he's got 200 strikeouts for the first time. He's probably going to lead the league in strikeouts. He's got a real chance to do it. Think about that. Think about if you said 2 years ago Logan Webb's going to lead the league in strikeouts. You'd have been laughed at. And yet here he is. He's probably going to do it. Amazing.
It's interesting. Like when I – talk to youth players, I'm like, hey, look, I don't care if you throw 110 miles per hour. If it's ball one, it's ball one. And I always use Greg Maddux as an example. And look, Logan is not Greg Maddux, but in an era where everyone's throwing max velocity, it feels like he is such a unique contrast to what everyone else is doing out there in terms of location, hitting your spots, not throwing max effort. I hope more guys coming up through the system look more like Logan Webb when it comes to durability and hitting your spots and not walking guys, because I think it's way more valuable than just raw velo today.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think if there's been a lesson of this year or even the last few years, it's even in this era of what you're saying, just let it all hang out. Let it go and we'll pick you up on the back end. That is detrimental to the team over the long haul. There is what's happening with the Dodgers right now. The Dodgers are still a really good team. They still have a chance to win the World Series. I'm not saying that. But the Dodgers pitching staff, it's sort of snowballed where so many short starts have taxed those bullpen guys. The relievers are just out of gas. There's nowhere to turn. Once you get into that pickle, it's like, okay, now what? Everybody's... the starters aren't going deep. The relievers are running on fumes. Where do we go? Where do we turn? And the value of having a guy who just time after time is giving your bullpen a quieter day. So valuable. And it just doesn't happen that much anymore in baseball. And that above all else is his superpower. Just yeah. Year after year, just take the ball every time. Yeah, there was a time – I'd have to think back to when it was. I think it was right around the All-Star break or a little bit after. I mean, Webb was kind of quietly talking about, yeah, my arm's not feeling great. It's, I'm not bouncing back. It was like a little concerning. Like, and yet, for him, it was just, yeah, I'll just do some extra treatment and I'll be fine. Like, and I'm not saying that's even a skill. That's sort of a God-given thing, but. Logan just gives that consistency that almost nobody else in the game gives.
Dave, you brought up the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. Huge series against the Dodgers this weekend. I mean, you got an opportunity to talk to the fans that are driving around right now, probably dropping kids off. I mean, what would you tell the fans with this Dodgers series at home here?
I would say two things. I would say, number one, this is the first time in a long time where it's felt like when you match up the rosters and just look at the talent level on both sides. Now, do the Giants need more talent? They do. The Giants, still need to work on this overall roster in the offseason. There's still work to do. But this is the first time you start to look at Ramos, Devers, Adames, Chapman, Lee, like, feels a lot different, feels a lot more deep, feels a lot more dangerous to me. So I think it's the first time you can look at these two teams in a while and start to think that, at least on paper, this isn't an overmatch. But you got to do it. And the Dodgers have bullied the Giants for a bunch of years now. You know, we used to always around here kind of take pride in no matter how the season was going, those games against the Dodgers were going to be ultra competitive and the Giants were going to fight like hell against the Dodgers. And that was a given. And I'm not saying they haven't fought, but it's been an overmatch at times the last few years. And it doesn't feel that way to me, but you got to go out there and take it to them. You got to go out there and play your best, most, you know, inspired ball. The Dodgers are going to come out. I think the Dodgers have spent a good portion of this year bored. You know, and that's part of, you know, you won the World Series again last year. You're in the playoffs every year. You're just assuming, look around the locker room, how many talented guys we have. We're going to get there again. This series will get their attention. You're going to get the best effort from LA. It was like, remember a few weeks ago, the Padres caught them, and then the Padres came to LA and the Dodgers swept them. That's going to be the Dodgers' level of concentration and effort this weekend. And the Giants have to be – the Padres kind of folded, you know, that weekend. If you remember those games, they made a bunch of errors, walked a bunch of guys. It was like the moment got a little too big for them. Giants can't let that happen. They got to they have to win this series this weekend, and they have to be able to go to L.A. and at least hold their own, but probably win that series too.
Talking with Dave Fleming here on the Morning Roast. And Dave, what's a team that we should be circling right now? If I'm a Giants fan, because there's a lot of scoreboard watching. Obviously, the Mets, we know that. They're directly ahead of them. Yeah, you got – yeah, thanks. Shout out the Phillies. Not the Phillies Karen. We don't want to talk about her. But the Phillies in general, shout out them. But is there another team that Dave Fleming has his eyes and his pen circling, if you will? The Reds, the D-backs, obviously, today. You want to finish off strong there. Got the Cardinals. You just saw them over the weekend. Any of those teams that we should be focused on?
No, I mean, I think I think the weirdness of the Padres Reds is if you're a Giants fan, you almost want the Padres to win those games. You almost want to get the Reds out of the way. The Padres are probably unattainable. You know, the Giants lose the tiebreaker to them. They don't have any head-to-head matchups. They don't have head-to-head matchups against the Mets, but they're close enough to now. That is the target. Now, they have all these games. If they ran the table against the Dodgers, then I guess that would be something different. But that still doesn't necessarily win you the division because the Padres are there. So I think the Mets are the team. That's by far the most realistic possibility. So whoever the Mets are playing, Giants fans need to root for that team that day.
Dave, this is a random question, so bear with me here. We're doing like a fan commandments thing. I want to put together the comprehensive list of the do's and don'ts, if you will, of being a fan and attending a game. And Joe referenced the woman that took the ball from the little boy over the weekend in the Marlins game wearing the Phillies jersey. We saw a Giant earlier this year throw a ball, a fan, throw a ball onto the field, which is just moronic. My number one rule would be to not mess with the players or the play that's going on the field. Dave Fleming, I ask you the same question. If you were to create a rule, a fan commandment, if you will, what would it be as someone who stares into the stands all broadcast long for 150, 160 nights?
My number one?
Or any.
It's a tie. My number, okay, I'll give you a couple. If you're sitting down by home plate and all the TV microphones, radio microphones, don't be that guy or woman. Don't shriek and scream the whole game and bark. Like, come on. Like, you're ruining it for everybody. So that's that. There's one. Number two, don't do the wave. Watch the game. Don't do the wave. If the wave happened in a commercial, you know, an inning break, okay, but it doesn't. It's like a big moment in the game and you're at Dodger Stadium and it's like, are you people even watching this game? Those are two I'll contribute to the hopper.
I love that. That woman the other day, Padres Giants screaming into the...
The other day, that was like a month ago.
But it was so bad. I love you guys. I had to turn it down. I had to go down. It was just... It was awful. And I felt bad for you guys.
The usher did too. Remember, Dave? Like, because we actually played the sound. The usher came down there.
I thought he did a good job.
And he did a great job. He's like, hey, you can enjoy the game. Let's just, you know, and let everyone else also enjoy the game around them.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's one for me. Don't be that person and don't do the wave.
There you go. And don't touch our quarterback's helmets.
Oh my God. Gilbert, his first major league hit in the third, and then he hit a fly ball to right field in the sixth.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God.
Dave.
Yeah. We got meaningful September baseball, Dave. It doesn't get better than that. So this is what we're going to be doing on Sunday, Dave. We got Saints-Niners,
10
o'clock. Hopefully Brock Purdy's playing. We know George Kittle won't be. He's on the IR. Hopefully CMC's all good to go, not on the injury report, so that's good. So we got that at 10, and then right after that, we got Giants Dodgers. So our Sunday is set, Dave.
That's a good little doubleheader, I would say. that could be a really great day if you're a Bay Area sports fan. Could be heartbreak. That's why we do this. That's why we care.
Well,
right now we're caring about the Giants, which is pretty cool.
Absolutely. Well, there was heartbreak for Arizona State that you were on the call last weekend, right, Dave? Mississippi State,
Dillingham.
Incredible. What do you got? What do you got this weekend?
I have Cal. Minnesota comes to Berkeley, so all I have to do is I don't have to go to Starkville, Mississippi. I drive across the Bay Bridge.
Hey, Dave, did you win any of your fantasy matchups this week? We know you're a big fantasy player.
Yeah, we lost our first Luke Casey beat me in the first week of the Giants fantasy draft. Now, he had he had the high score of the whole week, and so had a pretty good week. He had a pretty good week. I walked out of the draft room. I was strutting. I thought I'm not strutting as much now. I like our team, but I don't love our team.
Who's your quarterback?
Lamar Jackson. I like Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
Yeah. No, we're good at quarterback. We get that position nailed down.
Another that fan commandment. Good. There you go. Yeah, Lamar shoving back the fan. I had no problem with that, by the way. Just don't touch.
Stop touching the players on the field.
There you go.
It drives me crazy.
Dave, good stuff, man.
Have a good one, Dave.
Have a great weekend. Let's go, Bay Area team. Go teams.
Go teams.
Let's go.
We got Cal.
He's rooting for Cal now. You know, big Stanford guy. He's rooting for Cal.
I wouldn't say.
I'm teasing.
I wouldn't say he's rooting for Cal.
By the way,
Giants Dodgers. I see you guys are all too young.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.